And for the prayers that ascended, we felt it. And thank you. We don't stand here of our own strength and courage. We'd fall flat on our face like this guy here beside me. This guy that's 10 feet tall. And he couldn't stand up to a stone that got thrown at him because God's power was behind it. And Goliath fell. We've heard a lot this weekend. And I somewhat feel sometimes like we were a little hard on you brothers. If you weren't able to take it, I may have backed off a little bit, or some of the other brothers would have backed off a little bit. But we're not just going to throw everything at you brothers. And I think to bring a little bit of balance into the picture, dear sisters, dear wives, and it's not appropriate for me to talk to you, although I'd like to sometime, but that's another day, and it's maybe better our elders' wives talk to you. But dear sisters, you can also participate in breaking a man, your husband. There may be things in your life that are not consecrated unto God. And this morning, are you willing to deal with that if you find yourself in that place? We are aware. And yes, the responsibility and onus is on the brothers. I believe that strongly. We also reach out to you sisters. Because we're yoked together as husband and wife. We have different responsibilities in the home. But we're together in this venture. Let's be aware of that. I've heard it once or twice this weekend. Maybe Brother John and I sort of shared a little bit on the phone together. A little bit of a need for a little bit of a reset. And I tremble at that this morning as we consider a reset. Because when we say there's a reset, we're identifying that there's a problem. And that there may have been some weakness among us in the past. And we need to be honest and willing to address these things. And by the help and grace of God this morning, we're going to look at a few things. And in my spirit, as Brother John reached out to me and said, would you have a closing message? There's something that not only did the subject matter come to mind, but also something stirred in my spirit that unless we can begin the reset process with repentance and forgiveness, it will not endure. It must start there. And this morning, likely the ones that get hurt so much in church situations and, let's be honest, squabbles and problems and misunderstandings and you name it, we can go up and down the list. And we're going to get to a little bit of a list, Lord willing, a little later. But the ones that are affected the most are our dear young people. So this morning, I'm going to do something I've never done before. I don't know if it's okay to do it or not. But the Spirit of God gives me liberty and courage to do this. Young people, can you just please one more time stand up? Just where you are, just stand up. I'm not going to get you. I'm not going to beat you. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Parents, look around. You see before you the church, the future church. You see around you the leaders that are going to be raised up among us if the Lord tarries to take our place. And I'm looking for a replacement. I don't intend to do this the rest of my life. But I'm counting on God to raise up replacements among us. It needs to start here. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal this land. Young people, can you receive from me this morning on behalf of your parents on behalf of elders that are sitting here this morning, we're sorry. We failed. We didn't always get it right. We've been carried away by numerous winds of doctrine that have taken the church to the wrong way. We've missed the mark. Can you forgive us? We repent. We're sorry. Can you forgive us from the heart this morning? And can you do that by just raising your hand? Keep them up for just a minute, please. Parents, look here. Here's your reset. This is forgiveness, people. This is where it's going to start. Thank you, dear young people. God bless you. We need you. We love you. We care for you. We know that you are the church, not only of today, but of tomorrow. We have missed the mark. We need you. You are a needed people. You are a needed people group. Bear with us while we try to get it right. Lord bless you. You may be seated. Can the congregation just stand for a minute and sing the song together, Spirit of Holiness Descend Upon Us. Can we sing that together as a congregation? Change of position.
Spirit of Holiness Descend, Thy people wait for Thee. Thine in kind compassion lend, let us Thy mercy see.
Yes, Father, this morning we wait patiently for You. In the power of Your word, anointed, magnified, blessed, make it easily to be understood. And Lord, somehow use a simple vessel and His tongue as He hides behind the cross to share the word of the Lord this morning. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. You may be seated. For a message this morning, I'd like to preach on a subject that's not easy, but it's entitled A New Cart. If you think back with me to the children of Israel, they had the Ark of the Covenant amongst them, and the glory of God was with them and present with them. And they entered up into battle, and they lost the Ark of the Covenant, and it was carried away into a heathen country. They were without the glory of God in their presence. They were without the glory of God in their midst. The power had departed. And Eli rolled off his chair and broke his neck and died. His sons got killed in battle. And one of his daughter-in-laws was having a baby, and she passed away while the baby was born, and she called it Ichabod yet before going. The glory is departed. And this morning we stand together and sit together, and we have to ask the question. We have to be real in bringing this home as we think about families and we think about the church and the future of the church. And I'm passionate about that this morning. Has the glory departed? And if it has, can we bring it back? And how are we going to bring it back? Is the question we need to reckon with this morning. And we know the Ark of the Covenant was carried away into a heathen land, and they put it in a temple, and the idols that were in the temple, they were falling over because of the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. You can read it in the scriptures. We won't take the time this morning. But it was in the temple there, and the idol fell over, and they'd set the idol back up again the next morning. The next morning they come back out again, and the idol had fallen over. I'm saying to you, the idols are going to fall with the presence and glory of God when it's present. They had this problem on their hands, and the Ark of the Covenant was gone. The glory had departed. And it went on a long time. Went for quite a while, and King David comes on the scene. And he has within his heart the desire to bring the Ark back to Jerusalem. So if you want to turn with me in the scriptures this morning, and we'll read the account, 1 Chronicles chapter 13. We're going to read a few verses here, and from that, Lord willing, we will go forward. And David consulted, verse 1, chapter 13, 1 Chronicles. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said to all the congregation of Israel, "It is even good unto you that it be of the Lord our God. Let us send abroad our brethren everywhere that there are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and to the Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us. For we have not inquired with it since the days of Saul." Wow. Wow. Can we stop and think about that? We heard this morning, Lord bless you, brother, for sharing about the need to read the word and to pray. Here's a situation where they had not inquired of God since the days of Saul, a long time ago. Time without God is empty. It'll be most miserable. And the Israelites were living a life of misery because the glory had departed. The ark was not with them. So David gathered all of Israel together, verse 5, from Shinar and of Egypt, even unto the entering in of Hermath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up and all of Israel to Bala, that is to Kirjath-Jearim, that belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahod drave the cart. David and all the Israel played before God with their might and with singing and with harps and with psalteries and with timbrels, with cymbals and with trumpets. When they came under the threshing floor of Shidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen had stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Therefore that place is called Peruzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day. I'm going to stop reading at that point in time. What happened here? They were doing something noble. They were doing something great. They wanted the glory of God back amongst them. And that's not wrong. David was not wrong in his desire. The people were not wrong in their desire. I trust it's our desire to be in the presence of the glory of God and have the glory of God upon us. But David had forgotten one thing. There were some specific instructions on how to bring the ark back, and it did not include a new cart. If you go back into Leviticus, you will find in the Numbers, I believe it is, you will find specific instructions on how the Ark of the Covenant was to be moved. He didn't follow those instructions, and it brought death to one of his servants. And Uzzah puts out his hand because the oxen, when they went across the uneven ground, the Ark of the Covenant shook on this cart. And it was about ready to fall off. And Uzzah puts out his hand to stop them from falling. Here they were doing something good. They were doing something right. They were trying to get the glory back. But they didn't do it the right way. You see, God has some orders in mind. He has some instructions for us on how to bring the glory back. And how to retain the glory, if you will. And the ark shook on the cart. What was the significance of the ark? The ark served as a symbol or meeting place with God. God hovered over the ark when the priests were present. And if the priests were absent, the presence of the law, the tablets, reflected the presence of God. And this morning, I want you to know that as a believer in Jesus Christ, if the glory is in you, the glory is revealing itself and the presence of God is manifesting itself out of your life. There ought to be joy in your heart this morning. If the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed your heart and made you free and whole again, there ought to be joy coming out of your life. There ought to be fruit coming out of your life. If there's no fruit coming out, have a look. Where's the glory? Where's the glory? Where's the Lord in your life this morning? What are some of the things that we need to be willing to identify in our lives and in the lives of our churches that have affected the manifestation of the glory of God? Where have we today in 2022 or whenever time period you want to put it in, where have we come up with some new carts and some new ideas on how to carry the glory of God? The world and the church of today and the modern church of today has invented all kinds of things on how to carry the glory of God. And I tell you, it's not working. The wheels are falling off. All we need is a good raft of persecution to come through North America and we will see what is carrying the ark, what is carrying the glory of God. We had a little bit of a taste of that in the last 2 years. A brother reminded me yesterday where we didn't stand up as churches and continue to fellowship together and come together and worship the Lord. Those churches aren't doing well. Whoa! Are we going to be honest with that, brothers and sisters? What are we going to do when it gets a little tougher yet? What are we going to do? There's not enough convoys and protests in the world that are going to change things. Because it's prophesied so to be to come. Where's the glory? One of the biggest distractions that I have seen in our world today, especially in the church, and it alarms me a lot, Paul teaches it well. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, how that we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Dear brothers, are you willing? Dear brothers and sisters this morning, are we willing to identify winds of doctrine that have come through our assemblies and our fellowships that's consistent with a new cart? Are you willing to take a look at it? And you might say, some of you who know me a little better, that go with Brother Kevin and his hobby horse again. You know where the biggest wind of doctrines are coming from today? It's YouTube itself. The books in the bookstores, and I don't misunderstand me this morning. I'm not saying that we got to shun every book that's in the bookstore. Don't misunderstand me, please. But I tell you, there's a lot of writers and there's a lot of authors out there with a lot of hidden agendas. And we better be spiritual men and women who are able to discern the carts. The new carts, and they look shiny. They got mahogany railings on them, and they're sanded down perfect and varnished perfectly. There's even hard maple in the floor of the cart. It looks good. It, by all appearances, it's pleasing to the eye. It's even satisfying. But I'm telling you, it's a new cart. And it cannot, will not carry the glory of God. Are we searching the Word, like our brother said this morning, to come together in the unity of the faith? There's no bigger blessing than when a bunch of brothers and sisters can sit around together and look at the Word of God. And I understand there's different gifts among us, and praise God for that. We need them all. But we need to look at it from the perspective of all the gifts, and they're able to bring the Scripture together with Scripture and find balance. That's the glory of God, that it may be manifested. If you did it all Kevin's way, it'd be a new cart. You see, you can't do it all Kevin's way, because all you're doing is creating a new cart. And my cart might only have aspenite wood for the floor. And if it gets a little wet, it's going to fall apart. You get the message? Dear brothers, can we be honest this morning? Are we willing to be honest? Here's one that's a new cart. Some of the mixed messaging coming through, and we've hungered after and set up men on a pedestal and received their ideologies and their words of encouragement and admonition. And I'm not against that, dear brothers. But I am not good with setting men up on a pedestal. We're going to be misled. And maybe they didn't even intend to mislead us. But as we've gravitated a hold of it, as we've grabbed a hold of it and run with it, we went off in the ditch on the right-hand side or the left, whichever side you choose. I got to be careful with this one because I'm going home next week and I might get into a lot of trouble. I don't know, but I'm all right with that. Brothers and sisters, I heard the testimony of a number of you around here. Things such as, that we've adopted into our lifestyle, home-based businesses, nothing wrong with them. But it is wrong when the force is on everybody to have it. God has not equipped everybody to do it. And that's okay. But if I was to stand up here this morning and tell us that, brothers, you all got to have a home-based business so that you can be with your families. I can give you a row after row and busloads of children where it didn't work. And I've had the privilege of being a little bit older, and I see some of the fallout of some of these things. And it didn't work. There's also cases where it did work. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do we understand what God has called us to do? Not what some writer or some preacher's man someplace. Are you in tune with the Spirit of God in doing and saying what He has called you to do? Here's another one. This is where I'll get into trouble. The classroom setting for teaching our children versus homeschooling. I'm just being honest to look at it this morning. I don't endorse one over the other. I see pros and cons on both sides of the ditch. I'm asking us to be honest and evaluate. Do I have the capacity to be a teacher in my home to teach my children 2 plus 2 plus 3 plus 5 divided by F to, multiplied by X? No, I don't. I don't know how to do that. I'm as dumb as a post when it comes to things like that. There's some of you, dear folks, that are have capacity and ability and gifting to do that. God bless you. Get it done. Do it. There's beautiful children coming out of homeschool situations. Don't misunderstand me. But I also have to reckon there's beautiful children coming out of classroom situations and doing well. And I can give you just as many busloads that aren't out of both settings. Let's be careful, brothers and sisters. Let us be careful. I'm saying these winds of doctrine, they may not be right or wrong in and of themselves, but how they've been presented and how we've adopted them is where I have concerns. They're new doctrines. They're winds of doctrines. And I sit down and I listen to young people sometimes, and I love young people, and I'm not a counselor. My brother Willis is the counselor in our... But I'm not. But I can listen and I can hear, and it makes sense to me what's going on. And I look into the faces of young people, and they tell me a lot by what's in their faces of what's going on at home. And I don't say that to scare you, dear young people and parents, okay? But it's very visible. And I see young people and talk to them, and they're locked up. They don't know what love looks like. They don't know what love means. They've got shells. We talked about shells around ourselves, and they've blocked up and locked up. Are you this morning honest enough as parents to take a look as to why that is happening? If we're going to hit the reset button, we better be honest with ourselves and be willing to look at the whole picture. Here's a new cart. Our cultures. Where we come from. And I can look across the audience this morning, and I know that many of us come from many different circles. There can be anything here from, I don't know how many. The message of the gospel this morning is not tied to the culture you came from. It crosses over and spans over all cultures and all walks of life. It is good for those in Asia. It is good for those in Africa. It is good for those in South America. It is good for those in Canada. Our culture and how we conduct ourselves within a culture can be a new cart. And it influences us in how we think and where we're going and what we're doing and how we dissect something and how we process it. I don't care what culture are, the Bible says you must be born again. I don't care what culture you come from, you have to repent of your sin. I don't care what culture you come from, you got to be able to forgive. Those things will keep you from the glory. Out of these things has come so many times what the Bible calls iniquity. And I looked it up in the scripture, and iniquity is mentioned many, many times. And it's always in the context of sin. What's iniquity? My dictionary says this: being wicked or immoral, not in what you do now, but in character. Means the very woof and fiber of your being and who you are and what you're displaying When it's immoral and sinful, it's iniquity. And God brought judgment upon his people because of iniquity, because of the character of sin that pervades in their lives. A way of doing things. Let me give you a simple illustration. If grandma made green beans and she put them in the pan and burnt them, I'll guarantee you that that's how mom made them. And I'll guarantee you that's likely how mom treated her daughter how to cook and bake the beans, or make the beans. Now that's a simple illustration, but you get the point I mean. The beans always got black, they're burnt, there's dirty particles on them. If we related to a sinful way of doing it. Somewhere along the line through that generation, that had to stop. And you got to start cooking the beans and boiling them in water. I don't know what you do with beans. I like them stir-fried. But anyway, that's beside the point. Oh, by the way, for the sake of our people, for green with a little bit of onion in them, right? Somewhere along the line, iniquity has to be cut off. It needs to be broken and repented of. Because my Bible says that it'll carry on from generation to generation to generation to generation. We're sitting under that issue today in our church world. There are things of our culture and our nature that have been passed down and are continuing to flourish among us. And I'm saying, brother and sister, are you ready to repent? Are you ready to cut it off and renounce it? Iniquity. Here's one, and we struggle. I preached about this at home a few weeks ago. So for those that are Bereans here, bear with me, please. This spirit of control is iniquity. It's sinful. It's wicked. The need to control is not of God. I didn't bring my apron up here this morning. And maybe I should have. I don't know. It's out in the truck. Are we here to serve or control? Jesus didn't come to be a king. He came to be a servant. The spirit of accusation. Whoa, brother, you're getting a little too close to the comfort zone. Yeah, let's deal with it. Because it's a spirit of iniquity that thrives, it seems, in the church today. It happened. Well, he didn't preach right. He didn't say this right. He didn't get this said. And he didn't comb his hair properly. And, didn't have his shirt buttoned up at the right level. Now we're going to accuse him. Or we're going to accuse her because of, who knows? And this goes on and on and on, and I'm tired of it. So is God, by the way. It's a new cart. And it does not belong among us. This morning I'm saying to you, if there's a spirit of accusation within you, you need to repent. You need to come clean before God. If we want peace and unity and harmony in our churches, that cannot be among us. There cannot be a spirit of accusation among us. If you want to discourage your young people, if you want to do damage to your young people, you maintain a spirit of accusation and they will see through it like that. And they will disperse and they will be gone into the highways and byways of life. And like we heard last night, it's hypocrisy. Because we look and think and proclaim that we are something. In the meantime, we're stabbing somebody in the back. It's a spirit of accusation. It needs to be repented of. It's a new cart. We're trying to carry the glory of God on one hand, but we're not doing it God's way. you're willing to reckon with that this morning. You know what? The children of Israel, they were fighting with Pilate. Pilate gives them an out. And he says to them, hey, listen, what did this guy Jesus do that is worthy of death? And they wouldn't even listen to him. Instead, they kept on bringing accusations and railing and, it was causing more of a tumult and an uproar, a riot, if you will. Pilate saying, what did he do? Why is he worthy of death? They said, crucify him, crucify him. Let this sin be on us and our, what? Children. Dear brothers and sisters this morning, what sins are we passing along to our children, to the next generation? And we wonder why our young people find it hard to come to Christ. We find it hard while it's hard for them to come broken, repentant. Are you willing to hit the reset this morning? Are you willing to hit the reset? A new cart. I don't know. I just encourage the brothers to take a hold of this subject and run with it. Don't just listen to me. But I have great concern today about our understanding of what worship is. All right? Worship is not, young people, listen to me, please, because this maybe affects you more than anybody else, but it's us old parents that are missing the mark and allowing this to happen. Worship is not something you turn on with a light switch. Oh, it's 9:45. It's time for worship. And we find a song with 7 words and we sing it 11 times over. And we call it worship. I want to be careful. Maybe when you're in the garden or cleaning up bottles out of the ditch or plowing in the field or rolling metal or doing whatever it is you, and there's a song goes around, I want to be careful with that. But dear brothers, what kind of glory, what kind of cart are we carrying into the church today? That's not worship. It may be part of worship, but it does not exclusively is worship. What is worship? We don't have time to explore this to the fullest extent, and I ask you, brothers, to pick this one up and run with it. Worship is a matter of the heart expressed through a lifestyle of holiness. That involves singing and making melody in your heart. That involves obedience to God and love for God. I don't turn those things on with a light switch, dear people. That lifestyle of holiness is ongoing all the time. God then receives glory and He knows you love Him by how you obey Him, the Bible says. Is that so difficult for us to grab a hold of? I don't want to obey! Yeah, I understand. My 3-year-old struggled with that for a while. Yeah, and later on in life, if it's not broken and we can't get to that place where simple obedience is understood by our children and our youth, and maybe it starts with mom and dad who have never learned to obey. Hit the reset button. Repent. Repent. More is caught than taught. I've sat under as a young person and growing up as a young married father, and over the years I've sat in many a church service where preacher men got up and beat and wailed away at young people and how bad they are and this and that. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We missed the mark, dear brothers. Young people, please forgive us where it's happened. More is caught than taught. To us older ones that are concerned about what's going on amongst our young people, I'm asking, take a hard look at yourself. Let's take a hard look at our own hearts first. We can use many different illustrations, and I choose not to go there this morning. Because I don't want to purvey a spirit of condemnation upon our young people in any way. But you get alarmed about something they're doing, take a look at where you are at in your life as a parent before you throw the book at them. I like to watch children sometimes. They tell me a lot about what's going on at home. Be aware of it. Be aware of it. My children were no different. And I committed that I wouldn't embarrass them today, so I won't. I seen Brother John's children last night, and he was talking, and one of them put her head down, like, oh, when's he, oh, Father, you know, and I know my children are sitting out here right now and say, oh, he's getting too close, he's going to have that, oh, Father moment, yeah. Yeah. We need to be careful with our children. We love them dearly. What are we teaching them? What kind of a new cart are we pulling out there, pretending to carry the glory of God? Well, two more, and then I'll move on. I briefly mentioned this earlier on in the message. But here's some new carts. Here's some new carts. Where we've tried to access the glory of God by not being willing to fully repent. You with me? Yesterday, for the sake of the brothers who weren't here, we talked about two very important things that Adam and Eve are guilty of. And down to the generation 6,000 years later, it's still relevant to us today and it's still prevalent among us. One is Adam and Eve. For those of you who are there, what were they to? Remember? They were hiding. When they sinned, they went into hiding. And I see this prevalent in our world today. It's the world's way. It's the ungodly way of dealing with sin. We hide. I did it as a four-year-old in the sandbox. I broke my brother's tractor and I broke the wheels off his tractor and I buried the wheel in the back corner of the sandbox. And covered it up, and then it took the remnants of the tractor that was left and stuffed it into the barn that Dad had made for me in the back corner where Brother wouldn't see it. And it took about 3 days for him to catch on that the tractor was missing. And he found it out, and Kevin was nowhere to be found. I don't know what happened to that. The wheels must stop. How did that happen? Oh, the cat must have taken it off. You know, we come up with all kinds of reasons of why we can hide and how we can hide and where we can hide it. Another form of hiding is running. That's really trying to hide from God. And I can imagine Adam and Eve running through the garden, hiding behind a tree someplace. And when that tree didn't work, they'd run to the next one. Meanwhile, God is walking through the garden. Adam, wo bist du? Yeah, where are you? Hiding and running is not a solution to come to God. It's a new cart. And you can go from brother to brother to brother to sister to sister to sister and somehow find a sympathizer. That, oh, you poor man or you poor lady. Oh, I'm so sorry that you... Come clean. Stop hiding and stop running. It's not going to get you nowhere. God knows exactly where you are. It's called rejection. And you will keep rejecting God. If hiding and running is your method of dealing with life, you're not going to find victory. What does hiding do? The next thing that Adam and Eve had a problem with. It says they haphazardly... No, that's not in Scripture, so I better correct that. They put together and they got a hold of some leaves and sewed them together and wrapped themselves in leaves because they discovered, oops, we're naked. We're fully exposed. And so they covered themselves with leaves. It's a form of hiding. Brother and sister, I don't know where you are this morning, young people, whoever's here. What are we hiding? What are we trying to cover ourselves with fig leaves for? It's a new cart. It's a new way of trying to access the glory of God by somehow imitating in our minds and our imaginations that it don't exist because it's covered and we don't have to deal with it. Papas. How do you drive your vehicles? My children accuse me of driving too slow. They don't follow me to church anymore. They want to get ahead of me or go behind me or take another route to get to church. Because he's putzing along going on his way to church. I get it. That's all right. Fortunately, I've, by the grace of God, have a fairly good driving record and haven't been in the rhubarb too many times yet. How do you drive? What's being caught? What's being caught? Young men, whoever you may be, what are you driving? How are you driving it? What are you doing with it? What testimony are you giving forth? What's going on in the cart? Just a simple side note. Hiding, covering is a common way that we've conducted and functioned in our homes, lives, and churches. And I'm saying if we want to access the glory of God, then the covering of our sin and the hiding of our sin has to stop, and we need to repent. Are you with me? Well, I'm here to also declare to you this morning that David recoiled. And he backed up and he went back to the Word of God. And he says, folks, let's bring the ark home. And he went back to the Word of God. And that this morning would be a message in itself for each one of us. I'm asking us this morning, take your YouTube, take your books, take your popular preachers, take your important preachers, whoever out there, men that have been lifted up. And just take them and put them on the shelf for a few minutes, please. And let's get back to the Word of God. I'm not saying that there's not some good out there. Please don't misunderstand me. I think we need to be able to discern through some things. But let's, as a people who have been gifted and capable of going back to the Word of God, to discern how to bring the glory back. And within an audience of this size, I don't know how many hundred are here this morning. You can't tell me that there isn't men and women of wisdom here that are able to discern the Word of God and decipher it and come together in the unity of faith and find truth. All right? So the onus is not just on us as elders. The onus is on every one of us. Are you willing to put everything in to bringing the glory back God's way? Not on a new cart. Not doing it outside of God's way. Are you willing to commit to that this morning? Are we willing to repent of where we've gone astray and where we've adopted the new cart? You see, the glory came back. And I found this so interesting. I was so blessed. Remember where this Ark of the Covenant was after Uzzah passed away? They hauled this ark into a side property there. And the guy, the owner of this property, was named by Obed-Edom. And the word came back to David, hey, this guy's being blessed. He's experiencing some things in his home and in whatever he was doing. He's being blessed. The blessing of God, the glory of God was present on his property. And he was being blessed. And we find on, if you read through the passage of Scripture, Obed-Edom went after the glory. He's named as one of the priests who ministered later. He was part of the group of men that were there together. What did Obed-Edom do? He went after the glory. He went after the blessing. He knew he was being blessed in his home with the presence and glory of God in his presence. Dear brother and sister, this morning, do you know the blessing of God and what it looks like? Do you thrive? Do you strive after the blessing of God? The glory of God. Do you want it? If you don't want the glory of God in your life this morning, I'm sorry, I got nothing to offer you. I can't help you. But if you want the glory of God in your life, if you want the power of God in your life, if you want change, there is help. Obed-Edom got it. He went after the glory. He went after the blessing. This morning, are you willing to do what's got to be done to go after the blessing? To have the glory of God in your life and in your church? What is our testimony this morning? It's the presence of God with us. We noticed that idols had a rough time in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant in a heathen land. I want to declare to you this morning that idols have a tough time existing where the presence and glory of God exists. Is there idols this morning in your life? Something that's high and lifted up and of more importance than God? Are you willing to repent of that this morning? The idol cannot stand against the glory of God. It's going to fall over. But it's up to your choice whether you want to enact the glory of God. It's up to you if you want to have the Spirit of God reigning in your life with power and glory that is going to make the idol fall over. What is your idol this morning? What is your idol? Is it anger? You know that anger can be an idol? It's sometimes a really big one. If that's the first response, sometimes it's a really big idol. I tell you, when the power and glory of God come into your life and you repent of that idol, it's going to fall over. Young men, I'll be personal with you this morning. Anyone else can take advantage of what I'm going to say. When I was a 16-year-old, no, sorry, earlier than that, 14, 15, 16-year-old, some of you have heard me give this testimony before. I had a bit of an issue with bad language. And I always felt like a good reason to get mad and have bad language because we had pigs. But I discovered later on that's never a good reason to have bad language. And it wasn't until I got on my knees before God and repented and called it what it was, sin, that I was delivered. To the glory of God. This morning, you can make a choice. Is that an idol in your life? To all of us here this morning, all of us men here this morning, and even some of you ladies, is your car, is your truck, is what you have an idol? If it's more important than anything else that you have in your life, it's an idol. I'm asking you to repent this morning. That idol needs to fall flat in his face. My truck happens to be a tool. It's something that gets me from point A to B and covers and carries me a lot of miles. Think about it. Here's another one. Time is moving on. Nobody's waving a white flag yet, so I hope I got a few minutes yet. Unbelief. Unbelief. There's so many things in life that when you take sap and boil it out and it makes maple syrup, I use that illustration. But so often, some of the things that are going on in our lives, when you boil it out, it comes right down to unbelief. And God brought judgment upon the children of Israel for their unbelief. Something as simple as, and I'll use this one again, and I make no apology for it. Do you believe you're ugly? Do you believe that you don't look good? Look at me. No. You see, God has made you beautiful. In His image, in His likeness, you are made like God. And He said, it's all good. In fact, He said, it's very good. So for you to believe and have a belief mechanism in your heart and mind and brain that you're of no value, that you're no good, and that you're ugly is unbelief, dear people. You need to repent this morning. Repent to find freedom. It's a new cart, this unbelief thing. Here's a tough one. It hits home to all of us. Restoring relationships. It's needful, dear brothers and sisters. It takes repentance and it takes forgiveness. Core things that are tied to our salvation. And I know sometimes, and I've been through some very difficult situations in my little life journey, that sometimes we try and try and try and try and have spent hours and hours trying to reconcile, and it didn't work out. I get it. I've been there. I've experienced that. Dear brother and sister, this morning, some of those things I have to leave with God. But I'm pleading with us, have we unturned every stone that we possibly could? If we haven't, I'm afraid we're carrying something in a new cart, and the glory of God is at stake. Bring forth forgiveness. I shared a little bit with the men last night or yesterday morning, and I'm going to share it for the benefit of all of you here this morning. Parents, have your children ever seen you forgive your spouse in front of them? And please don't sit there this morning and say that there's been no need of you to forgive your spouse. I've been married long enough. My dear wife is sitting here. And I think if I would ask her whether she ever had to forgive me, if she was going to be honest, she'd have to put her hand up. And it's happened vice versa, just not as often because she's wonderful, but you get the point. You see, have your children seen you humble yourself before them to your companion? Say, I'm sorry, I failed. And I don't want to make light of forgiveness this morning, but I think we're shy on witnessing forgiveness taking place among ourselves. I think we're shy in seeing repentance take place among us. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another. If there's something that needs to be taken care of, deal with it. Repent. It's all right to be humbled and allow somebody to see it and witness it. Much more is caught than taught. Do your children catch you forgiving and or repenting? I hope they do. I hope they do. If they don't, this is what it will produce. Insecure children. Unable to receive love. Unability to recognize brokenness. And the ultimate goal of all of this is for them to witness the attributes of God and our responsibility to God, so that when that time comes and God knocks on their heart's door, that they're able to respond. There's nothing more discouraging to me when we've opened it up at different times through the years and had an altar call, and I see people squirming in their chair, knowing they're under the power of conviction and they can't move. That's a devastating event. Have your children seen you humble yourself, forgive, and repent? Is the glory present in your life today? You see, now we are the temple of God. And see, now the glory ought to be in us. Or are we pulling it in a cart? Are we pulling it in a cart? How big is your cart? How big is your cart this morning? What are you dragging with you? What is it that you think you can't accomplish? What is it that you think you can't do? What is it that you think God is too limited to help you get accomplished? I want to declare to you Jesus Christ this morning, and He is not limited to anything to change your life and restore you. Burn the cart! Let the wheels fall off! We could have a bonfire here this afternoon. If you got some carts made up, get rid of them. Come clean. Be open. Repent. Forgive. The song went through my heart as I sat here prior to the service this morning. And this was my prayer as I come up here to stand before you this morning. My prayer is that the Spirit of God would break every stronghold, every bondage, every tie, every unforgiveness, every sin, and that we could come clean, our fig leaves off, our armor down, found our tire in the sandbox, and bring the tire to the cross and lay it down and repent and or find forgiveness. Are you ready to deal with that this morning? Anybody ready to deal with it?
And I don't know what it is, and I don't know what it looks like. But today is the day of salvation. Today, while you are living and breathing, you have opportunity to deal with that thing. You see, God never guaranteed me a breath for this afternoon or in 10 minutes from now. That's no guarantee. That's in His hands. But right now, I'm breathing and living, and I have the opportunity to cry out to God and deal with my sin. Are you willing to deal with that this morning? You're not coming to me. You're coming to Jesus Christ. That's where it's at this morning. Every head bowed, please. Close your eyes. Brother elders and elders' wives, be aware. Is there someone here? Is there someone here that's ready to do business with God? Is there a new cart in your life? Have you got something loaded on the cart that's restricting the glory of God from emanating from your life? What are you carrying in your cart this morning? What are you ready to deal with? Today is the day of salvation. The call here this morning is for repentance. The call here is for forgiveness. You know what's happening in your heart right now. You know if God is calling. I'm asking you to be courageous and humble yourself and come to the Lord Jesus. Your moms or dads, grandmas or grandpas, I don't care who you are. Come to the throne of grace today. Brother song leader, can we just quietly sing "Just As I Am" by memory? Slowly, not too fast. If that's what's on your heart this morning and you want to come forward, kneel down at these chairs, or we can usher you back into a private room, back in the building, whatever. You want prayer, there's people here that can pray with you. If you want to do business with God by yourself, that's okay too. But if you have questions and you want to deal with it and get right with God, today is the day of salvation. Can we sing? And while we're singing, you want to come forward, raise your hand, acknowledge your need. I ask you to be courageous this morning. Don't listen to the lie of the devil and say it's all right. You can get away with this. You can continue on getting away with this. Because today you have life and breath. Can we sing, please? And fall on their faces and cry out to you. Repent of their sins. Then you're going to hear us. And you're going to come back and you're going to heal us. This morning, I thank you, Lord, for your word and what it's done. Lord, I pray that as these that have responded and those that have raised their hand, Lord, that you would specially touch each one of them. Lord, help them to identify this morning any new cart that would be in their life. Anything that is keeping them from entering and being under and in the glory of God, and the glory of God resting in them. Father, help us this morning. Bless each one here. Bless this people. Find us faithful as we go forward here. Willing to look at where it's going wrong and look to you and to your word to bring us back on the right path. Father, we pray, have your right of way. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.